The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads. Nothing beats a weekend away with the family in the great outdoors, whether it's camping, hiking, river rafting, or anything in between. With third-row seating, nobody is left out. The entire family can experience the thrill together. And nobody wants a dead phone. Available dual wireless charging pads make it so nobody gets stuck and we can check our fantasy baseball teams together. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Welcome to the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast from CBS Sports.
Oh, and first pitch crushing! Deep left field! This is what it is! Welcome on!
Got a fantasy question? Email fantasybaseball at cbsi.com. Get ready to win your league.
Where fantasy becomes reality.
Now, here's Frank, Scott, and Chris.
What's up, and welcome in to Fantasy Baseball Today on Tuesday, May 24th. Frank Sample joined by Scott White and Chris Towers today on the show. We'll talk about Vladimir Guerrero Jr. once again. We're getting lots of emails right now. So we have to appease the audience. Let's see what's going on there. What is up with the Braves hitters minus William Contreras? And I guess Travis d'Arnaud. They have an awesome catching duo. And not much else going on there right now. Fantasy Feud, Team Name Tuesday, and a bunch more. But first, Chris, you are living the life, my man. You went to a baseball game, and you're doing the podcast in the same night. How was
it? Yeah, I went to a baseball game. I saw some pierogies run around. It was great. You love it. You love to see it. So no, yeah, I'm doing great. PNC Park remains the best. I wish more people were there, but selfishly, I was able to get like third row, third base side for like $20. So don't mind that. got to see the Pirates get a rare win. So all good.
Yeah, I got a front and center picture from Chris of a big beefy baseball game. Big beefy baseball boy before the game started. So that was awesome. Dan Vogelbach, up close and personal. That was awesome. I'm going to Fenway Park this weekend, so I don't know if you guys have been there, but anybody who knows where to sit, where's the best like bang for my buck, because I'm not trying to like spend a bunch of money on tickets, help me out, because I don't know anything about Fenway Park.
All I did when I went was walk around. I barely even spent any time in my seats, so... it's an awesome place.
I'm looking forward to it.
You gotta be careful when you're buying a seat at Fenway that it's not blocked by a pole. Your view isn't blocked by a pole, because that's a common thing. And so there'll be this like random seat and you're like, why is it so much cheaper? And that's why.
And yeah, you can't see anything.
Yeah. I've already looked at some seats and I saw those with the pole and I'm like, what's going on here? So I'll probably just sit somewhere in the outfield in the bleachers or something, but I don't know where I'm going yet. Anyway, let's talk about today's action.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
All right, Scott, why don't you kick us off? Oh, my goodness gracious, from Monday.
Oh, those Dodgers. Those dastardly Dodgers up to Dodger things, this time with Tyler Anderson. I don't know what Dodger devil magic they've worked on him, but he suddenly looks like a world beater on the mound. His latest start at Washington, 8 shutout innings with 8 strikeouts, 21 swinging strikes on 101 pitches. And I will point out that prior to this game, prior to the 21 swinging strikes against the Nationals on Monday, Tyler Anderson had a top 12, what would be a top 12 swinging strike rate if he had the innings to qualify? Clearly, un-Tyler Wells-like stuff. He is throwing a changeup more, and it's a much better changeup than he's had in the past. So, Dodgers devil magic. Tyler Anderson looks like a good pitcher. And I was disappointed because I thought I picked him up in a bunch of leagues last night as a two start option. I guess I didn't win any of those claims. I thought I'd won a bunch of them, and I was looking through all my scoreboard. Like, where's my, where where am I benefiting from this Tyler Anderson start? And it turns out nowhere. So that was
I think I got him in one league.
I think I saw him get picked up in maybe our podcast points league. Let me Yeah, it was Chris who picked him up. Tyler Anderson
there you go.
For $6 out of a $100 budget last night. So awesome start there. Really outside of Tyler Anderson's just one start against the Phillies on May 12th where he gave up 7 runs. He's been great outside of that.
So I will point out, like, it's worth, you know, yes, he's been good. But this was against the Nationals. Previous start was against the Diamondbacks. Previous start before that, he got crushed against the Phillies. Then he was good against the Cubs, good against the Tigers, good against the Padres, good against the Reds, good against the Rockies at Coors Field. That's one good performance against a tough matchup, right? Like the Padres would be the toughest one on there, and he went 4 2/3 innings.
Why'd you pick him up? Doesn't sound like you like him as much as I do.
Because he had two good.
It was just a jerk move.
Because he had two starts this week, and one of them was against the Nationals.
Drop him after this week. I dare you.
I might. I dare you. Yeah. There's a decent chance.
Do it. You won't, Chris. Anyway, for Tyler Anderson, I think it's a good point that you bring up, Chris. But regardless, the control has looked awesome this year. The walks, he's averaging 1 walk per 9 innings pitched. ERA down to 3.30. He's got 42 strikeouts to 5 walks total. And that swinging strike rate you mentioned, Scott, on the changeup, just the changeup, it's 26% entering Monday's start.
Elite changeup.
Yeah, that was 15% last year. So that changeup has been fantastic for Tyler Anderson. 81% rostered, probably not out there in many 12-team leagues, but you know, maybe in shallower 10-team leagues. Look for Tyler Anderson and get him on your team. Chris, oh my goodness gracious, from Monday.
Yeah, so I think Zach Wheeler's just back. I think he's just back to normal. The velocity, mostly back to where it was last season. Not quite all the way, but he had 10 strikeouts and 6 2/3 innings against the Braves today. That's, what, 4 good starts in a row for him after a rocky start. He's got 33 strikeouts over his last 4 starts, 40 over his last 5. So, yeah, I think we're done being concerned about Zach Wheeler. Yeah. I don't want to speak for everyone. If that's speaking out of turn, please let me know.
Nope. No.
But,
nope. He's back.
I think I put him back in my top. Did I get him back in my top 10 in my last rankings update? Yeah, he was number 9 in my most recent rankings update. I don't know if I'm going to move him up any more from there. Although I guess, yeah, no, he's going to be number 8 because I hadn't moved Max Scherzer down since we found out how long he was going to be out. So he's, yeah, number 8 for me, Zach Wheeler.
Yeah, last 5 starts for Zach Wheeler, a 1.40 ERA, 40 strikeouts over 32 2/3 innings pitched. He had 20 swinging strikes in this start. He has 7 or more strikeouts in each of those last 5 starts. Right now, he is ranked as the 9th starting pitcher across the board by each of us. I think there is a real conversation for, I mean, moving him ahead of someone like Walker Buehler, Giolito for me. I don't know. What do you think, Scott? Are you going to move Zach Wheeler up after this latest start?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I don't know exactly where I have him now. I'm pretty sure I have him ahead of Giolito already.
Yeah, you do.
But I think, so I was just doing a redraft of the first 2 rounds earlier today. And based on the pitchers I included in that, I think I could justify putting Wheeler as high as 6th. Okay. So ahead of Buehler, I could see doing that, yeah.
Ahead of Buehler, ahead of Woodruff?
Nah, yeah, I could do that. Yeah, it's a close call.
I think they're very similar, right? It's kind of flip a coin situation, Woodruff and Wheeler. I think Woodruff is going to be fine. I know the overall numbers haven't looked great for him, but yeah, I think Wheeler's right back in that mix with like Verlander and Woodruff and Gausman and Rodon. Yeah. So he's like a top 6 or 7 starting pitcher. He is back. What about Alex Cobb? Lots of questions about Alex Cobb right now. He didn't have Coors Field as an excuse this time. He was at home against the Mets where he gave up 6 runs on 10 hits over 6 innings pitched. He did have 7 strikeouts to 0 walks. I did not watch this start, but someone tweeted at me that Alex Cobb got BABIPed to death in the 3rd inning of the start where he gave up 5 runs, which included 2 ground ball singles in the infield. And then after that, it all kind of snowballed. A 2-run double by Lindor, a 3-run homer by Pete Alonso. The ERA is 6.25 for Alex Cobb. The xFIP, wait for it, 2.32. I know people will not want to hear this, but really based on all the underlying numbers,
you should hold on to Alex Cobb. Chris, do you agree?
He's got, in this start, he had, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 hits allowed that had an expected batting average of 330 or below. Four of them were on batted balls with expected batting average of 200 or below. So, yeah, I mean, I think this was probably a bit of bad luck. There is a fair point to be made about whether at some point it stops being bad luck when you keep underperforming your peripherals. And, you know, we are on 2 years of this with Alex Cobb, technically, although it's not a significant sample size because of
he only threw
93 innings last season.
This year's version is throwing 2 miles per hour harder too.
Yeah, and so I don't know. I still have faith in the peripherals. I think you can still take some positives from this start with the swing strike rate, 8 whiffs on the splitter. 7 strikeouts in 6 innings. Like, it does sound like it was mostly just one bad inning with some pretty crappy luck.
Well, and if you guys are saying it was bad luck, and I'm not arguing that point, his previous start was at Coors Field and he gave up 7 earned runs, and we're always inclined to give a pitcher a pass for Coors Field. So you got to combine 13 earned runs in his past 2 starts, 1 bad luck, 1 Coors Field. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I hope people drop him because I'd like to have another shot at him.
Yeah, I think he's going to be good moving forward, but my confidence is a little shaken, I suppose.
Yeah, the underlying number is 12% swinging strike rate for Cobb, which is okay. It's above league average. It's not amazing, but he's got a 66% ground ball rate, more than a strikeout per inning so far this season. So I know he hasn't been good. I have him in a few leagues. It stinks. He's still 88% rostered. Scott, I'm assuming we hold, right?
Yes.
All right, let's move on to the email of the day from Joel. And he writes in, "Hey, Huey, Dewey, and Louie."
It's fine as long as I'm Huey.
DuckTales, right?
I think that's what it is. I just assumed this was some kind of musical reference, and then when I Googled it, it turned out to be Ducks.
It's definitely Donald Duck's nephew.
Yes. That's what I found.
He said that, to Google Huey, Dewey, and Louie.
Yeah, don't tell anybody that. I wrote to you guys during draft season to ask if the Blue Jays were all overinflated. Last week, you asked if anything is wrong with Vlad Jr. There is nothing wrong with him. He just doesn't have minor league parks inflating his numbers. When accounting for the minor league parks, his numbers are a little bit down compared to last year, but not a ton. And the rest of the league seems to be down on offense as well. I think the lineup will also be worse, less turnover, less runs, and RBI opportunities. Joel attached the numbers from last season. He might be onto something. 44 games in TD Ballpark and Salem Field last year. Remember, the Blue Jays were playing in Buffalo. They played in another park in Florida, another minor league ballpark. In those 44 games, Vlad hit .364, 21 home runs, and a .1296 OPS. 117 games everywhere else last year. Vlad hit .292, 27 home runs, and .893 OPS. That's still like a 35, 36 home run pace, so that's still very good. But that is a sub-900 OPS bat. Now, what is going on with Guerrero in the month of May? He last hit a home run on May 5th. He has 0 extra base hits and 2 RBI in 15 games since then. He's batting .257 overall with a .775 OPS. Scott, what is going on with Vlad Guerrero in the month of May? Are you actually worried that he doesn't have these minor league ballparks anymore?
You're coming to me first, huh? Am I actually worried? Like, he's having a bad month, clearly. I was listening to you guys talk before the show, so I'm just going to steal your point that he has a really low launch angle this month, the kind of launch angle where you wouldn't expect many balls to leave the park. It's negative, right, in May? A lot of ground balls being hit this month.
Yeah, 0.2 degrees is the average almost launch angle, yep.
Okay. He's still hitting the ball as hard as basically anyone can. And he still has a very low strikeout rate for somebody who hits the ball that hard. And he still has 7 home runs on the season, which is the same number as Kyle Tucker, Reese Hoskins, Jeremy Pena, Jazz Chisholm. Trevor Story's up to 7 now. You know, like, it's not It is seven home runs. I realize it's May 24th, but seven home runs on May 24th isn't a bad number. I understand we're talking about the major league lead home run leader last year, and we wanted more. I still think if you're hitting the ball like he does and making as much contact as he does, good things are going to happen. You know, the launch angle is much worse in May than it was in April, but it could be great in June. You know, like it's, I told you guys I was doing a redraft of the first two rounds, and maybe you guys will talk me out of it right now, but I still have Vladimir Guerrero as the number five pick if I was redrafting for the rest of the season.
Don't give too much of that away, Scott, because we've got a fun podcast coming up next weekend regarding redrafting the first two rounds. But you have him fifth overall. All right, Chris, yeah. I believe, Chris, that you actually expressed some skepticism over Vlad. Am I making that up? Were you worried about him coming into the season?
It was mostly just a token like, hey, this is a guy who had a huge season. Regression is not unexpected. And, you know, we saw that a little bit in the second half. You know, the numbers that the emailer sent in, they're interesting. But I think it's worth keeping in mind that I don't know if that was a minor league park thing. Like, one, minor league parks, like, that makes it sound like they're, like, fake parks. But they're normal-sized. You know, they're not, like, you know, we're not talking about, like, 320 feet all the way around. These were... You know, these were actual baseball parks, so
I think they were
good offensive environments.
They definitely were,
but we're not talking about like a smaller version of Cincinnati's park like that. That's, you know, I think what happened was he got hot early in the season, and he was awesome everywhere that he played early in the season. His road OPS in the first half of last season was like 940 or something, which is higher than he's done so far and really elsewhere in his career. So I don't know if it's just, oh, they're not playing in TD Ballpark and then Salem Field. I don't think it's as simple as that. But, you know, it's possible that he just had a really, really great couple of months and he's more like a high 800s OPS bat. And there's nothing wrong with that. But given the fact that he doesn't steal bases, you can see a case for Vladimir Guerrero not being a first-round caliber player moving forward if he's more of a high 800s OPS bat.
High 800 OPS is like...
still very good. Green.
So it would be a borderline first-round bat still. You know, and that's not even necessarily adjusting for what an OPS, a good OPS might look like now.
Yeah. That being said, I think he's going to be better than he has moving forward. Like, his underlying numbers... you know, all suggest he should be better than he has been. This isn't a case where, you know, he looks exactly like he did before last season, which would be the bigger concern, I think. Like the surface level numbers, 257 average, 426 slug, that sounds like him pre-2021, but the quality of contact, the expected stats, those all look better. I can't say I'm too concerned about him. Like, I could see moving him down to sixth overall behind Mike Trout. Like, I think Mike Trout's a better hitter than him. And so
I have Mike Trout number one.
Oh, when Mike Trout's healthy. I need to stop giving stuff
away. How dare you?
There is an article coming out before we record that podcast.
I'm interested to find out who's number six then.
Well, you're going to have to tune in, Chris, or be on the podcast with us.
But yeah, like I could see moving him down to six, but I'm not going to overreact either.
Well, I think the big question would be, and I do have a few players in between these two. Would you rather have Guerrero or Judge rest of season? And I imagine the average fantasy player would say Judge. Mm-hmm. And like, if you could guarantee me health for Judge.
Yeah.
Okay. But that's obviously been far from a guarantee throughout his career.
Yeah, and like, I don't know. I think Aaron Judge is just hot, and Vladimir Guerrero is just cold. And so asking that at the point when those two guys are moving in opposite directions, it's prone to, you know, overreaction. I think I would still take Vlad the rest of the season.
Judge is the best power hitter in baseball, and that means more at a time when power is being suppressed again. So I don't think it's, yes, he is hot. Like, I don't think he's going to hit 60 plus homers or whatever he's on pace for. But I think he's a pretty good bet, provided he stays healthy. He would be the number one choice to lead the majors in home runs, not just with the head start he has, but I would say from today forward.
Mm-hmm. I guess.
Yeah, I mean, all the power metrics. Look, you know that Judge is ridiculous in terms of the Statcast data awesome. And how hard he hits the ball. He's got to stay on the field. I think that's, you know, the easiest way to put it. You mentioned that. Two more home runs for Aaron Judge on Monday. He now leads MLB.
Oh, my God. We get it, Frank. My God. Stop talking about the Yankees.
I know. I wanted to lead the show with it, but I
keep wearing this Texas Rangers hat, so I don't know.
I mean, it matches with my shirt. It's like there's like a little bit of blue in here somewhere, so I don't know. Anyway, Aaron Judge is on pace for 66 home runs. I don't think that's going to happen, but of course he is motivated playing for that contract. He has been awesome. Vlad, last point on him. Look, if someone in your league is freaking out about him, this goes without saying, I think we would all look to buy on the cheap. What does that look like? Look, if you can get him for a third round value player, then sure. I think that's something.
No question.
Yeah, you should look into doing that right now. Better days are coming, but maybe he turns out to be a little bit of a letdown compared to where he was drafted, a top three player overall. That is Vladimir Guerrero Jr. What about these other hitters? What's going on with the Braves? Scott, you're wearing the shirt. Let's go over to you. What is happening here? Austin Riley, in the month of May, he does have two home runs, but he's batting 176 with a 540 OPS. Matt Olson overall in the season is batting 244 with four home runs. And Ozzie Albies is batting 240 with a 685 OPS. So, Scott, what are you seeing from these three? Austin Riley, Matt Olson, Ozzie Albies.
Austin Riley is the one I'm least concerned about. The data is even better than it was last year. He is impacting the ball like an elite power hitter. The launch angle looks good. Strikeout rate, you know, 25%. It's about the same as last year. It could be better, but it could be worse. And I think he'll be fine. Olsen, I think, will ultimately be fine, but his strikeout rate is up from last year. His launch angle is down. And neither of those is good. It's not like he's gone back to being the guy who strikes out a third of the time like he did early in his career. And, you know, I think over time he'll start elevating the ball better just because that's been a consistent part of his track record. But there's a little more to be concerned about there. I think the most concerning, though, is Ozzie Albies. I think there's a... because he's always had, particularly from the left side, which is obviously where he gets the most of his bats, he's always had a tendency to just try and golf it, just try to hit home runs. And with this dead in baseball, I'm not sure he's going to do that often enough to accept the damage to his batting average. He may need, like, I think he's a talented player. He's always had a low strikeout rate and everything, but he's somebody who may need to rework his swing to maximize his potential in this new environment. I'm not saying anybody should be dumping Ozzie Albies or anything, but of the three, he's the most concerning to me.
All right, Ozzie Albies. I noticed the BABIP way down this year, 252 overall for his career. That is 296. His quality of contact is also down this year.
Yeah. And
Albies is someone that doesn't really crush the ball in years past. You know, he makes the most of putting it in the air, volume, doing all that, but the quality of contact is down for Albies. I have faith in Matt Olson getting on track. This launch angle thing is really weird for him. 50% ground ball rate this year. That's 37% for his career, and he's still hitting the ball really, really hard. So Olson is someone I'd be looking to buy. Chris, I know that you were also skeptical on Albies coming into the year. Do you think he gets back on track, or are you actually worried about this?
Oh, I just thought of something.
What does that say? Ah, the Albies player shirt.
Here I am bashing my the player while wearing his jersey.
Oof.
So rude. Such a rude fan.
Well, I would never bash Roberto Clemente, whose jersey I'm wearing.
Can't do that. Come on.
Ozzie Albies, yeah, like I think part of the thing that I struggle with Ozzie Albies, and this is something I've struggled with like Bo Bichette as well in the past, is just that they're much better fantasy hitters than they are real life hitters. And I always struggle with that profile because in both Albies and Bichette's case, a lot of it comes down to having a power speed combination. A lot of it comes down to really, really impressive counting stats. And the latter especially is at least somewhat context dependent. And right now the context for both those guys doesn't look as good as we thought it would. I think both, we expect the Braves and Blue Jays lineups to be better moving forward. And so that's less of a concern, although Albies doesn't always hit in prime spots in the lineup. I think he's probably just cold, but he's also a middling enough hitter among, you know, along the context of
data.
The great hitters. Well, no, I just mean like among the guys typically drafted in the first three rounds, and Albies was often going in the second round this year.
His Statcast metrics aren't as...
Well, even his underlying, like his actual numbers, you know, he's more like a high 700s OPS bat. He's got one season with an OPS above 810.
Okay.
And so I think that kind of thing, you know, when a guy like that isn't hitting well, it can be especially ugly. But I think he'll return to being a mid to high 700s OPS bat. It's just, I think it's going to end up likely that he was overdrafted this year.
Okay. That is Ozzie Albies and the rest of the Braves hitters. Let's take a quick break, and when we return, we'll get to the news and notes here on Fantasy Baseball Today. Worn by players like Michael Harris to meet the demand of elite ball players, the New Balance Fuel Cell 4040 V7 is a versatile option. The 4040 V7 is built for the athlete who needs responsiveness and ability to cut and run at their full speed. The model features a fuel cell foam underfoot and a synthetic and mesh upper to provide breathability, comfort, and a snug fit as you round the bases. The fuel cell midsole features nitrogen-infused foam specifically designed to propel athletes forward. Learn more about the 4040 at newbalance.com. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. The news and notes. Josh Hader was placed on the family medical emergency list on Monday. Players spend between 3 and 7 days on the list. Devin Williams will fill in during the short term. Freddie Peralta was placed on the IL with a right lat strain and is expected to miss, quote, significant time. He is expected to pitch again this season, but could be a multi-month absence for Freddie Peralta, which brutal.
I don't know what significant time means.
I would assume
significant time, like, sounds like he's in jeopardy of missing the season, but they also made
3 months.
To say,
3 months would be significant and would still allow him to return this season.
Well, everything would have to go right. I mean,
yeah, you'd only have
I don't know how confidently they're saying we expect him to be back this season.
Yeah, I don't think you can expect anything from him the rest of the season.
Okay.
Brutal.
What does that mean? Like, would you consider dropping Freddie Peralta based on this? Because significant time to me sounds like 6 to 8 weeks could be significant time, right? That.
Yeah.
I would say expect him back no earlier than post All-Star break, personally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's say you're in one of these NFBC leagues or a league with no IL spot. Would you drop Freddie Peralta in those leagues?
Not yet.
Probably not. Yeah.
I'd have to hear a clearer timetable.
Okay.
Yeah, but like based on what we've heard, I guess the way to phrase it would be I'm not expecting anything from him on the teams where I have him at this point. Like, I'm moving forward as if I'm not going to have Freddie Peralta.
Brutal. Freddie Peralta, top 20 starting pitcher. We lose him 1 week after losing Max Scherzer. It's rough. It's rough out here.
Yep.
Frankie Montas threw a bullpen on Monday and is on track to make his next start Thursday against the Rangers. Aroldis Chapman has been diagnosed with left Achilles tendonitis and may need an IL stint. Again, Clay Holmes is the name there. He picked up his fourth save over the weekend, and I believe he is still less than 60% rostered. Actually, no. He was added in a ton of leagues last night. So he is up to 70% rostered is Clay Holmes. And I think in any categories league or any league where you have Chapman, you want to make sure you have Clay Holmes on your team as well. Chris Bryant was scratched Monday due to back soreness. He was just reinstated on Saturday, which seems very worrisome because Bryant's dealt with a ton of injuries in the past. Look, it's too early to say that it's just going to be a lost season, but I just kind of have this like doom and gloom feeling about Chris Bryant when it comes to a lingering back injury. I hope it's not the case, but I've got a bad feeling.
Yeah, those are messy.
Yep.
Those are messy. I don't know that there's anything to do but stash and hope for the best, but
yeah.
I hear what you're saying.
Reminds me a little bit of Christian Yelich from last year, and we all remember how that turned out. Not great. Mm-hmm. Willy Adames is optimistic that he'll be ready to return from the IL when first eligible this Thursday. Josh Donaldson received a one-game suspension for his comments made this weekend, and he was also placed on the COVID IL before Monday's game. Dylan Carlson was placed on the IL with a hamstring strain but could return in about 2 weeks. Steven Matz was also placed on the IL with a left shoulder impingement. As a result, Matthew Liberatore was recalled and is 26% rostered. Obviously, big prospect. We spoke about him last week. Let's just watch him for now. Maybe add him in just, deeper leagues.
He's one of those guys that just like kept being, he like has not moved really in the prospect rankings over like the 4 years he's been a professional. He's been like 40 to 60 seemingly every year. And I just like, I don't know. You look at the numbers and it doesn't really make sense. Like he doesn't look like a top 100 prospect in the numbers. So yeah. I don't know. I was reading the Baseball Prospectus write-up of him from before the season, and the comp they made was to Marco Gonzalez, which, yuck.
Well, look, Marco Gonzalez has made a nice career for himself, but if you're a prospect...
Yeah, but for fantasy, not the most exciting player.
Yep. Trevor Bauer began his grievance hearing Monday against MLB as he seeks an overturn or reduction of the 324-game suspension he received back in April. Hunter Renfro left Monday's game with a sore hamstring. Tyler McGill played long toss on Monday and felt good afterwards. Connor Overton was placed on the 60-day IL with a stress reaction in his lower back. Andrew Heaney threw 30 to 35 pitches over two innings during Monday's bullpen session. Good news there for the Dodgers and Heaney. Ramon Laureano has missed two straight with a right hand injury. Josh Rojas has missed two straight with a bruised left hand. Kyle Lewis is targeting a Tuesday return to the Mariners. I believe he's right around 60% rostered, which sounds, I guess, fine. Like the right number. Maybe even a little bit too high. 56% rostered. Does that sound right for Kyle Lewis?
I think it's fine. I could see it being higher, but he doesn't really like know in any three outfielder leagues. So
he wasn't really striking out on his rehab assignment, which I thought was interesting. But yeah I'm not. I haven't been the biggest Kyle Lewis guy over the years.
I remember. I think it was my first season here, the short in 2020. Remember, Scott, you finally gave in on Kyle Lewis, and then he just like took a nosedive after that.
Yeah. That's the way it goes.
Unfortunate.
That's why we're frustratingly patient for some people, because sometimes it feels like you can never be patient enough.
Yeah. Ken Giles could be cleared for rehab soon. He's on a 60-day IL with a right middle finger tendon injury. He's 12% rostered, and I think he could actually work into the closer role because no one's really grabbed that role for the Mariners this season. So in deeper roto leagues, category leagues, I would look to stash
Ken. I'm not optimistic. I don't think they want anybody grabbing it.
All right.
I hope so. Because I don't, like, Ken Giles is one of those pitchers, like, when he's not closing, he's been just terrible.
True.
My thought since the offseason has just been the fact that they gave him the 2-year contract knowing he'd be out for a full season makes me think that they do value him in a way that makes him more than just a setup guy. But that's obviously me trying to read into the motivations of someone that I don't actually know.
Yadier Molina was placed on the bereavement list, which means he'll miss at least 3 days. And Alex Reyes, unfortunate news, will undergo shoulder surgery at the end of the month. It's been a very injury-riddled career for the former top prospect. Let's play The Feud. Fantasy Feud, modeled after the great game show. Of course, Family Feud. If you've listened to this show for years, you know Adam used to play it with the guys. I think we played it a few times last year as well. So I will ask a question. I'll open it up. You guys can buzz in by, I don't know, saying your name, answer the question, and then we'll just play on. So on and so forth. I even found some fancy music that I'll play here. I guess let me know in the YouTube comments if it's too loud, too low, or what's going on with this. But here we go. Seems really low, but we're going to keep playing it in the background. I like it a lot. All right, first up, 8 qualified starting pitchers have an ERA below 2. Chris.
Pablo Lopez.
Pablo Lopez is the third answer on the board. 1.57 ERA. Scott, you have a chance to match or, I guess, do better.
Yes. I don't know that I want to give away some of the answers I'm thinking of. I'm going to say Corbin Burns.
Corbin Burns is not on this list. So, Chris, would you like to pass or play?
So I just need to get one to win this category. That's how this works,
that
right?
That's not correct at all.
Yeah, since he got it wrong, I only need to get one.
That's not how it works.
That's absolutely how it works.
That was the face-off. You won the right to choose to pass or play. If you play, you get 3 strikes to get as many as you can, potentially all of them. If you pass, that goes
well,
to me.
I will play.
And whoever loses it. Like, if you get 3 strikes, the other person has a chance to steal by getting 1 right.
Corbin Burns, by the way.
I will play.
Corbin Burns has a 2.26 ERA. So go ahead, Chris.
Awful bet. Awful guess.
Chris, you got the third answer, and there are 7 others available.
Kevin Gausman.
Kevin Gausman is not on the list.
Really?
First strike.
Awful guess. Oh, no. I'm blanking. Oh God.
Somebody in the YouTube chat said this is
Walker Buehler.
This is some Mario Kart music, which is exactly what Chris
said. That's exactly what I said.
Walker Buehler is incorrect.
Mario Kart. Oh gosh. Oh gosh. Okay.
7 answers available on the board.
Shohei Ohtani.
Shohei Ohtani. He might, but I don't think he qualifies. He is not on the list.
Oh, come on.
Walker Buehler, by the way, has a 2.89 ERA. I'll look up Ohtani. In the meantime,
2.82.
The Scott White family has a chance to steal.
Just a pathetic showing by Chris there.
Really bad, guys.
I am going to say Martin Perez.
Martin Perez is correct. The Scott White family comes through with the steal. 1.64 is the ERA for Martin Perez. Other answers, number 1 on the list, Justin Verlander, 1.22.
Of course.
Michael Kopech, 1.29. He just qualifies now after Sunday's start. Pablo Lopez, we mentioned, was third. Alek Manoah, 1.62. Then Martin Perez. Miles Michaelis was at 1.68. Yeah. That was... He stayed below two today.
It was barely a quality start, but he stayed below 2.
All right. So he still qualifies there. Nestor Cortez at 1.80, and then Joe Musgrove at 1.90 are the ERAs there. All right. Are you ready for round 2?
Yeah. Let's do it.
Let's do it. 6 qualified. No. Let's do this one. 7 qualified hitters have a batting average over .325 this season.
Scott.
Go ahead.
Luis Arraez.
Luis Arraez, I don't think that he qualifies, Scott.
Yeah.
Because he was not on the Fangraph leaderboard.
He's batting like .360.
Yeah, he is. All right.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Chris, you're up.
So, got it wrong.
So, we'll go with Mike Trout.
Mike Trout is not on the list.
Come on.
Luis Arraez, by the way, is batting .349.
Oh, my God. I just looked up Mike Trout's batting average. This is dumb. This is a dumb game. He's hitting .323.
Yes. That's exactly why I did it. So there are 7 qualified hitters over a .325 batting average this season.
So neither of us got it right. We just got to keep going back and forth, right?
Yep. Go ahead, Scott.
Okay. We're bad at
and I think Scott's frozen.
No, I got him.
Oh, you got him? He's frozen on my end. I think Scott's here now. All right, go ahead, Scott.
I'm here. Don't cancel the show on my account.
I'm not. Not yet.
No. Don't do it. I'm stalling because I don't have a good answer, but I am going to say that, of course, the answer to this question is none other, the one, the only, no freaking idea.
The music really does add something to it, because, like, in the past, it's just these awkward silences as we're trying to fill time.
I didn't want the awkward silences, so I got some.
All right, I got to guess somebody. Ke'Bryan Hayes. I'm going to guess Ke'Bryan Hayes.
Ke'Bryan Hayes is incorrect.
Nope. Ah. No, but I think he's still under 300 despite
he's up
reaching
to
base four times today.
He's up to 290 now. All right, Chris, you're up.
Taylor Ward.
Taylor Ward, I don't think that he qualifies.
Oh, my, come on. Are you kidding me?
He is batting 370.
He's hitting like 370. Yeah, but he doesn't qualify?
I guess he doesn't qualify. He is not
this is a. This is the... I hate this game.
Eric Hosmer.
Eric Hosmer is not on the list. All right, maybe I should just give you guys a different category. I don't know.
Aaron Judge.
Aaron Judge is also not on the list.
Come on!
Yeah, Taylor Ward does not qualify. I don't know how that's possible.
Unbelievable.
All right, let's move over to a different
one. We got one more round.
All right.
I know. It's my turn too. JD Martinez.
JD Martinez is batting 349. Yeah. He is third on the list. Scott, would you like to pass?
I am so passing.
All right, Chris, you're up.
Oh boy. Oh gosh. Oh, Tim Anderson.
Tim Anderson, the number two answer on the board. He is batting 359. Good job.
And do I keep going?
Yes.
I'm thinking about
Manny Machado.
Manny Machado is the number one answer. He's betting 374. Awesome season from Machado.
All right. Jeff McNeil.
Jeff McNeil is not on the list. That's your first strike.
Paul Goldschmidt.
Paul Goldschmidt is on the list. He was betting.
Good answer. Good answer.
As Chris punches himself with the microphone once again. Paul Goldschmidt was betting 342 before Monday's action.
Yeah, before having a huge game on Monday.
And then he hit a walk-off grand slam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how many are left?
He lowered his batting average.
So you have the 1, 2, 3, 4, the top four answers on the board. So you need 5, 6, and 7.
How many guesses does he have left?
He has two more.
Okay. Two more chances.
Two more wrong answers.
Well, send it to me. Got it.
All right.
Goldschmidt down to 338.
I got an answer ready to go. Come on. Blow it, Chris. Come on.
All right, Chris.
I'm
going to need an answer.
I Yordan Alvarez. I just blanked on Yordan Alvarez's name.
Yordan Alvarez is incorrect.
All right.
Let's see. Yordan Alvarez is batting 250. Sorry, Chris.
Okay, yeah, that wasn't a good guess then. DJ LeMahieu.
DJ LeMahieu is incorrect.
Incorrect.
LeMahieu's been solid, but his batting average is actually kind of stinky.
Oh yeah.
He's batting.
No, I hadn't seen his numbers in a while. Yeah, his numbers are pretty bad now.
He's batting 250. All right, the Scott White family has an opportunity.
Rafael Devers.
Rafael Devers is correct.
Yeah.
335 batting average for Rafi Devers. The two names that you guys did not get, Andrew Benintendi batting 329. Ty France also batting 329, added two more hits.
I think you're leaving one off.
Who is that?
CJ Cron? Bogarts.
Bogarts? He was on the list.
Maybe he just doesn't qualify, but he's at 325 if you round up. So maybe he's like 249.7.
I said over 325, Chris.
Mm.
And CJ Cron actually was over 325, but then he went 0-for-4. So I excluded him from this list. Sorry, CJ Cron. Let's do one more, even though I guess technically Scott has already won. He's already won two of these. Let's go with, do you want to go pitching, hitting, starting pitching, hitting, or closers? I'll let you guys
pitching. Starting pitching.
All right. Six qualified starting pitchers have a swinging strike rate over 15%. Entering Monday's action.
All right, Scott.
Go ahead.
Okay.
Carlos Rodon.
Carlos Rodon is Not on the list. Sorry, Scott.
Over 15%, you said?
Over 15%, yep.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Corbin Burns.
Corbin Burns is the number one answer. 17.9% swinging strike rate for Corbin Burns. Chris, would you like to pass or play?
I'm going to play. I'm not going to be a coward like Scott. Game's already decided anyway.
You're just going for the faith time. I know.
Shane O'Mac.
Shane O'Mac is the number two answer on the board. 17.4% for Shane McClanahan this season.
It's going right down the list here.
Garrett O'Cole.
Garrett O'Cole. He is the number six answer. That is correct. 15.2% entering Monday's action. Scott, by the way, Carlos Rodon is 14.3, so he just missed.
Kevin Gausman.
Kevin Gausman is the number three answer, 17.1%.
Okay. Now we're cooking with gas.
There's two more answers available.
Two more answers available. Oh, gosh. Max Scherzer.
Max Scherzer is incorrect. He's at 14%. What a good guess.
I thought
I'm ready to steal again, baby.
Uh-oh.
Got my answer.
Scott White is coming for you.
Take it away.
Yeah. I should probably have a good answer here. Brandon Woodruff.
Brandon Woodruff is incorrect.
Ready. All right. Oh, Dylan Cease.
Dylan Cease is correct. The
that
number
the one.
Four answer on the board, 16.1%.
So we're missing number five, right?
Number
back
five.
The drawing board for me.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy. Number five. Okay, I'm going to go with a weird one. Oh, wait. No, I'm not. Shohei Ohtani. Or does he not qualify?
Ohtani is not on this list. I don't think he qualifies. All right, that's your third guess. And Scott, you are up for the steal.
I don't know if this is right, but... Now I'm rethinking. I'm going to go with Pablo Lopez.
Can I throw in a guess? Just another guess, just because this is the one I was going to go with.
Sure.
I'm going to throw Shane Bieber out there.
Okay. Pablo Lopez is incorrect, so Chris does win the category. Shane Bieber is also incorrect.
Also incorrect. Okay.
Shohei Ohtani, by the way, 16% swinging strike rate. Yeah. He just does not qualify. So
my initial thinking was Austin Nola. Is it Austin Nola?
Aaron Nola.
It
would be interesting if it's Austin Nola, but it is Robbie Ray with all these swinging strikes the past couple of starts.
Interesting.
He's up to 15.4%.
So Shane Bieber, that was basically the right answer.
Yeah, right? It's like the same thing with Yelich and Bellinger. We just kind of tie Robbie Ray and Shane Bieber together. All right. So Scott wins this round of Fantasy Feud 2-1. The other questions I had, I'm not going to go through them, but I'll just let you know what they were. Eight qualified hitters have a 17% barrel rate or higher this season. And then eight relievers have double digit saves.
I know Judge, Trout, and Stanton are top three in barrel rate.
That is correct. And then it's Patrick Wisdom, Kyle Schwarber, Rowdy Tellez, Yordan Alvarez, and then Willie Adames is on that list. So
I would guess Patrick Wisdom probably falls if you sort it by barrels per plate appearance as opposed to barrels per batted ball event.
That might be correct. All right, let's get back into Monday's action. We'll wrap up with some of this. We've got some Team Name Tuesday coming up as well. Some pitching leftovers, some names that could be available on waiver wires, definitely in some deeper ones. JT Brubaker. A very solid start against the Rockies, which Chris was there to watch. 6 2/3, one unearned run. He had four strikeouts to two walks in four May starts. He has a 3.26 ERA over a strikeout per inning. That is JT Brubaker, 10% rostered. Jordan Lyles, back-to-back starts with eight strikeouts against the Yankees. And then Adrian Hauser has allowed just one earned run over his last two starts. He's 52% rostered. Chris, we'll start with you. Any interest in Hauser? Jordan Lyles, JT Brubaker.
Brubaker is someone who I find myself intrigued with. I don't know how intrigued, Scott. Apparently not very intrigued
well,
at all.
Just, He was a constant tormentor of mine last year, always on the sleeper pitchers list.
But he's throwing his sinker more as opposed to his four-seam fastball, and his slider has been really, really great. And it was really, really great last season. He's throwing it more. Actually, his usage for the slider is about the same. But yeah, I don't think he's a star, but I don't think any of these guys are likely to be difference makers for you. I think he's the most interesting between Lyles and Hauser.
Some other pitchers from Monday's action. Gerrit Cole misses out on a quality start for the first time since April 19th, so he was on quite the roll, but kind of hit a speed bump here against the Orioles.
I mean, even then, he'll take 11 strikeouts in 8 innings.
Yeah.
With a sub-1 whip.
Yeah.
He kind of just had one weird inning, right?
Yeah. He gave up 4 runs on 5 hits in the 3rd inning, and it wasn't any home runs. It was just a bunch of hits that got stringed together there. So 8 innings, 5 runs, 11 strikeouts, to 0 walks for Gerrit Cole. He had 22 swinging strikes in this one. And then Tristan McKenzie is actually providing some length recently, now has 4 quality starts in a row, 2 quality starts of 7 innings in a row for Tristan McKenzie. He's got a 2.70 ERA, but the xFIP is up over 4 because he does allow a lot of fly balls. Scott, anything you'd like to add on Gerrit Cole and Tristan McKenzie?
Well, I think they're very different categories of pitcher.
Yes, they are.
You know, I have a hard time getting excited about Tristan McKenzie's recent success because he's not striking out that many guys, only 3 today, less than 7.7 K per 9 for the season. So, you know, I'm more, I obviously like him more than like the Jordan Lyleses and Adrian Housers of the world, but the roster rate alone would suggest that much. And
he's got 20 strikeouts to 6 walks over 26 and a third innings over this 4 start stretch.
Yeah, so I'm going to try to be more discerning with pitchers. This is probably more planned for next year, but even when we're talking about waiver claims, if you're not missing enough bats.
Yeah. And McKenzie's issue, he throws his fastball too much, and it's just not a particularly good pitch. It's a slow fastball. It's got a good spin rate, but he doesn't command it well enough, and it gets hit hard in the air. So I think he's someone who would benefit from going 50% slider or fastball usage, but he reminds me a lot of Josiah Gray. I think they're very similar pitchers where they're going to have really good stretches, but I think the ultimate ceiling is a little capped with the way they pitch right now.
Kind of continuing what I was saying in relation to Monday night's slate, Zach Greinke's still 73% rostered. Get that out of there.
Yeah.
Get him out of there.
Get 5 Kyle strikeouts today.
Get all those pitch to contact guys that have been pretty good in recent years, but not the last 2.
All right.
It's time to move on. It's time to get going. What lies ahead, I have no way of knowing.
That's from DuckTales.
Is that true, or are you just messing with me? There's no way that I would know. So, anyway, what happens when you put Zach Greinke and Zach Davies in the same game starting against each other? Well, you get a bunch of home runs. Whit Merrifield hit his 3rd. Bobby Witt Jr. hit his 5th. Hunter Dozier hit his 5th. Pavin Smith hit his 5th. And then Christian Walker hit his 11th home run. Those last 3, Dozier, Pavin Smith, Walker, they are all under 55% rostered. Scott, we've talked a lot about Walker recently. I don't know. Do you think that number should be higher? Any interest in Dozier, Pavin Smith? What do you think?
Walker. Walker's the one who I think is worth adding basically in any format. He's been, let me look at that, in points leagues, which you wouldn't think is his better format, he's been, counting real quick, the 11th best first baseman so far.
Wow.
And that's with him hitting barely 200. So I would hope the batting average goes up, and if it does, then yeah, he's going to be somebody worth rostering.
You know, Davies and Greinke, they're both Zachs who should spell their names with an H, because there were no K's in this start.
Got that right.
There were 7 between them, but still, you know, the joke still works.
Zach Britton learned his lesson. He changed it from K to H.
Zach Greinke, by the way, is spelled with a K, Chris. Sorry.
I know. I was just making a joke.
All right. Stud hitters doing stud things on Monday. I mentioned what Aaron Judge did. I won't mention
it again. Oh, my God.
I know. Sorry, guys. Jose Ramirez went 2-for-5 with a sock and a shoe. He hit his 10th home run, his 4th steal of the season. I was actually surprised to see the steals that low for Jose Ramirez. I mean, he's been awesome doing everything else, so not really worried.
When you're on a 40-homer pace, there's not that many opportunities for steals, I guess.
That's fair. Right now, Jose Ramirez is on pace for 16 steals over 155 games. The sprint speed is still amazing for him, 86th percentile. So more singles, I think we'll get more steals for J-Ram.
He's also on a 160 RBI pace.
Oof.
Well, which is
I'm not going to tell you where he is in my redraft.
Pretty good. You can make a compelling case for number one.
You definitely can, especially with the third base position as bad as it is. Pete Alonso, 3 more hits, including his 11th home run. He is hot. He's batting .290, and he leads the National League with 40 RBI. Paul Goldschmidt went 1-for-4, hit a walk-off grand slam, his 7th home run of the season. Julio Rodriguez added 2 more hits, and he hit his 4th home run. The batting average is up over .270. It was an awesome month of May for J-Rod. And still could get even better. Some hitting leftovers. Ke'Bryan Hayes, Chris mentioned, he went 3-for-3 with a walk. He added his 5th steal. He's batting .290.
Aristides, the most overdue player in baseball for a home run.
I actually Ke'Bryan Hayes. I looked into his StatCast numbers on Monday.
It's really, he could be on the verge of really breaking out. His underlying numbers are very impressive.
In the month of May, he's altered the launch angle too. His ground balls are down. His fly balls and line drives are up. This is Ke'Bryan Hayes. His expected slugging is much higher than his actual slugging. So,
like, he's got a 47% ground ball rate. That's playable with how well he hits the ball and how much contact he makes. He should be like a 20 homer guy with how he's hitting the ball right now. So I think Ke'Bryan Hayes is a strong buy right now.
All right, Aristides Aquino, a double dong. Both went over 425 feet. That's back-to-back multi-hit games, both against left-handed pitching. Don't really have to do anything with it, but a name to watch, Aristides Aquino there. Ian Happ went 2-for-3 with his 4th home run. He's got 2 homers over his last 6 games. I like the approach this year, but I want to see more power. It seems like that might be coming around for him. Patrick Wisdom went 1-for-4 with his 10th homer. Max Kepler hit a grand slam, and his StatCast numbers still look really, really good, so if you have Kepler, I know the power has kind of slowed down in May, but I would hold. I'm kind of interested in Max Kepler.
Number one sleeper hitter for this week.
Nice.
I know he wasn't when we recorded the podcast, but when I updated Sunday.
Good start for this week. Was Tyler Anderson the number one sleeper pitcher? Or the number one two-start guy?
Not number one, no. Mm. But he was on the list.
Well, I'm sorry for trying to say something nice then.
Eugenio Suarez.
That's on me.
Suarez hit his 9th home run. Last name here, Brendan Donovan. 2 more hits. He's batting .340. He's got an OPS over 1,000. He's 21% rostered. Scott, did you add Brendan Donovan anywhere this weekend?
Yeah, I added him in a 12-team roto league. So about 360 players rostered in that league. I'm not sure if he's legitimately this good. I mean, he clearly seems to have a knack for getting on base, but the batted ball profile doesn't look that impressive. But he's going to have a lot of versatility, and hopefully he's going to be able to carve out a regular spot in the Cardinals lineup, even with others like Nolan Gorman being called up.
All right. The call to the bullpen. For the Pirates, Will Bednar recorded the final 4 outs, and he picked up the win. For the Cubs, David Robertson pitched a clean 9th inning for his 6th save. For the Orioles, Jorge Lopez picked up his 5th save. And then for the Cardinals, Giovanni Gallegos pitched in the 8th inning with the game tied. He faced the heart of the lineup, 4, 5, and 6 for the Blue Jays. And then Ryan Helsley pitched in the 9th inning of that game. To stream or not to stream, let's take a look at Tuesday. Bruce Zimmerman at the Yankees, Nick Pivetta at the White Sox, Dane Dunning at the Angels, Kyle Freeland at the Pirates, James Caprillion at the Mariners, and I don't see this on MLB.com yet, but I'm pretty sure Ronzi Contreras is starting against the Rockies.
I think he's the obvious choice. Yep. If he is starting,
I'll go with Pivetta at the White Sox over him. Just because I'm not confident Contreras will pitch more than four innings, but Contreras would be my second choice.
Yep. And then I would put Kyle Freeland third at the Pirates. Yep. I don't mind that one.
Yeah, that's good too. Yeah.
And then,
yeah, I mean, the Pirates, I was at the game tonight, and it's just like, man, it's better than a AAA roster, but I don't know. The bottom third is not. There are definitely AAA rosters with better hitters than the bottom third of the Pirates right now.
I mean, that's pretty messed up to Jack Sawinski, Chris.
Yeah, it's a little rude to Jack Sawinski and Mike Perez, I think was the... Yeah, Mike Perez and Rodolfo Castro. Of all apologies.
Yeah. All right, we'll let it slide this once. On Wednesday, we've got Zach Thompson versus the Rockies, Jake Junis versus the Mets, Aaron Ashby at the Padres, Christian Javier versus the Guardians, Reed Detmers versus the Rangers, and Glenn Otto. 1-800-GLENN-OTTO at the Angels.
Definitely Christian Javier here. And I feel pretty good about Aaron Ashby, too. I mean, with this news, Freddie Peralta is going to miss significant time. I don't think we mentioned this. Aaron Ashby becomes must add, I would say. He's got a spot of his own now.
Yep.
Aaron Ashby, just going to pull up the roster percentage, is 38%. So that should at least double over the next couple of days.
Yeah, he's a SPARP too, so.
Oh yeah!
Everywhere where that matters.
And his last two appearances combined 5 perfect innings with 9 strikeouts. The velocity's gone up to where it was last year. And he's got like a 70% ground ball.
Yeah, really high ground ball rate. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, let's wrap up with Team Name Tuesday. These are from emails, and I think these first couple are right up your alley, Chris. Maybe. I don't know. From Vic, Bob Dylan, birthday edition. Don't think Bryce, it's all right. Tangled Up in Badoo.
Yep.
Robbie Ray Lady Ray.
Yep.
Or just Ray Lady
Ray. That's my favorite Bob Dylan era when he just like decided to sing like Kermit the Frog for a little while. Like this doesn't mean anything to Frank or Scott, I'm sure, but the...
Well, give us a sample.
Like the John Wedley, lay, 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 lay down on my shoulder. That's how he sings that song. It's not quite Kermit the Frog, but it's like Kermit the Frog doing a Bob Dylan.
All right. I like it. Doval along the Watchtower.
Yep, yep.
These are from John. You say Kikuchi, I say a Suzuki.
Yep.
Mm.
The Trevor ending story.
Yep.
That's a classic.
Stranger Things, by the way, is coming out on Friday.
Season 4 movie.
Very
Stranger Things. It's like 40 hours worth of television over 9 episodes.
I mean, we're not going to complain about this, Chris. Come on.
I'm not complaining.
Oh, well, this next one's a classic as well. Can I get a what?
Yeah.
That's for you, Scotty.
Also a classic. Yeah, that's the proper use of Canna's name.
What did I tell you about Yepes? It says The Office. I don't know.
Yeah.
Should have looked it up.
Office reference?
Oh, bad job by me. This one's from Vincent, the Flying Rutschman. From James, what's the rutch, man?
Yep.
From Kevin, either you are or you Arenado.
Yep.
From Zach, now watch me you.
Yep. Ah, Soulja Boy.
We've got to do something Scott related.
Can I get a drop with that, please?
We've got to do something Scott Soulja Boy related. I'll think of something eventually. From Terry, these are all music themed, so more for you, Chris. Quan Knight Standards.
Sure.
Espinal Tap. Although I guess it's Spinal Tap. Alcantara, Feel My Face.
Yep.
Helsley's Bells.
I like that one.
Margot Ahead and Jump. Jump.
Yep.
And one for the road, Stump the Schwarb. From Bernard. Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damas.
That works.
One Bregman, one Stott, one beer.
Okay.
Chris is enjoying himself very much right now. This one
just can't get past Scott saying, "Oh, Soulja Boy."
I was not expecting it. This one's from Chris on Twitter, not Chris Towers. Cinder Guardians on the Galaxy. Yep. Yep. I guess of the galaxy. From Dork on APR, Ba with the Boz. All right. Yeah. I think it's time to end this one. For Scott and Chris, I am Frank. Thank you all for listening and watching Fantasy Baseball Today. We'll be back again tomorrow. Bye-bye.
homes.com knows that when it comes to home shopping, it's never just about the house or condo. It's about the home. And what makes a home is more than just the house or property. It's the location and neighborhood. Homes.com offers in-depth neighborhood guides with detailed video overviews, comprehensive narratives, and unbiased information from a multitude of sources. You thought we go in-depth with player analysis on Fantasy Baseball Today? You haven't seen anything yet. Each listing features comprehensive information about the neighborhood, complete with a video guide. If you have kids, it's also schools, nearby parks, and transportation options. When looking at local schools, they offer test scores, state rankings, and student-to-teacher ratio. They even have an agent directory with the sales history of each agent. That's why Homes.com goes above and beyond to bring home shoppers the in-depth information they need to find the right home. So when it comes to finding a home, not just a house, this is everything you need to know, all in one place. Homes.com. We've done your homework.